This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. How might this year's presidential election be different if President Bush's challenger was Senator John McCain instead of Senator John Kerry? Interesting idea, you might say, but it can't happen. They're both Republicans. Well, this year, two states, California and Washington, will vote on propositions that would allow such a possibility, though just in state elections, not in the presidential contest. If passed, the propositions would change how voters there choose which candidates get on the final ballot. The way primary elections work right now, registered Democrats can only vote for Democrats, Republicans for Republicans, Greens for Greens, and so on. Each political party nominates one candidate. In the kind of open primaries proposed in California and Washington, voters could cast a ballot for anybody they wanted to, no matter what party they're in, and the top two would face off in the general election. If adopted, and opinion polls show they very well might be, these proposals would change politics and the political parties. Later in the program, did Iraq have weapons of mass destruction, yes or no? A new poll shows many Americans say yes. But first, how would politics and the political parties be changed by an open primary system? What about small parties? We'll hear opposing opinions. If you want to get in on the debate, give us a phone call. Our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And our email address is totn@npr.org. Joining us now by phone from his office in Seattle, Washington, is Sam Reed, the Secretary of State for Washington. It's good of you to be with us today.
Thank you very much, Neil.
And in just a moment, we're going to be joined by Art Torres. He's the chairman of the California Democratic Party, but let's listen to the sound of your voice. Welcome, Mr. Torres.
Great to be
okay.
with you all.
Sam Reed, we're going to begin with you. Why do you think open primaries are a good idea?
Out here on the West Coast, we have this long tradition, which is labeled populist, where the people really believe they ought to be able to control their own public institutions. Many people who came out here were getting away from city bosses, party bosses, you know, dictators and such. And so the framework of our governments out here is very much set up to have government fragmented, decentralized. We have initiative, referendum, recall. And here in the state of Washington, up until this year, we've had a primary system called a blanket primary where people could vote for whoever they wanted in the primary, no party registration, and then in the general election, the top vote-getters for each party moved ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that unconstitutional because we're nominating people for the parties. California had adopted our system. It was a California, actually, primary that went all the way to the Supreme Court. So what we're doing is basically we'd be returning to having such a wide-open process. And the last poll showed it passing by 70 to 23. The people feel very strongly about this here and feel that it gives them the kind of public officials who are more flexible, more willing to work across party lines, more willing to compromise, more in the big center of the political spectrum.
Art Torres, chairman of the California Democratic Party, you're opposed to this idea. How come?
Well, I think I agree with the United States Supreme Court that we need to have choice here. Quite frankly, if Proposition 62, which is the Louisiana-style primary that the California Chamber of Commerce wants to institute in California, if that would have been in effect since 2000, 350 candidates would never have been making the November ballot in California. This is a matter of choice, quite frankly, and to deny parties like the Green Party, like the Republican Party in some Democratic districts, or the Democratic Party in some Republican congressional assembly or Senate districts, I think is not very democratic. And I think that the rule that we've had here in California is that existing primary election law permits independent and declined estate voters to participate in partisan primaries. And I've always encouraged that and allowed that to happen in our Democratic primaries since I took over the chairmanship of this party in 1996.
What's been the experience, Mr. Torres, in the state of Louisiana? As you pointed out correctly, they have that system already.
Well, Louisiana long has had a reputation for corrupt politics, unfortunately, and the state's primary law has permitted extremists such as the Ku Klux Klan leader David Duke to be finalists for governor. I just don't think, and quite frankly, after reading many respected political scientists, in Louisiana report to us that the primary election winners are more frequently political extremists rather than what they allege to be the reason for this initiative to create more centered, moderate candidates to emerge as a governor or lieutenant governor in various states.
Sam Reed?
That is really a manifestation of Louisiana politics and history. That kind of extremism far, far preceded them ever adopting a top two system, which was in the late 1970s. So to try to attribute Louisiana's corrupt and kind of extreme politics to this process, I think is really an inaccurate reading of the history of Louisiana and its politics.
Well, to suggest
then we in the state of Washington have had that kind of wide open primary here for 70 years, and where anybody can vote for anybody in the primary, and we have ended up really historically with having pretty moderate, constructive, pragmatic leadership that gets elected to statewide office, congressional positions, and most legislative positions.
Why would this open primary be different from the previous system, which the Supreme Court found to be unconstitutional? Sam Reed?
The Supreme Court said that basically Justice Scalia wrote the decision. He said you can't have it both ways, where you have all the people voting with no restrictions, but on the other hand, you move ahead one nominee for each political party, so you're picking the party standard bearers. So Justice Scalia very specifically said in his decision, if you're going to let the people have the freedom to vote whomever they please, then you have to let the top vote-getters move ahead, and that's what would make it constitutional.
Okay. Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. Again, our phone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is totn@npr.org. Our guests are Sam Reed, the Secretary of State of Washington, and Art Torres, the Chairman of the California Democratic Party. And we'll go to Rebecca, who's with us on the line from Stockton, California.
Well, hello. My question for the guests was that what would they say to the criticism that open primaries would lead the wealthiest candidates to be in the forefront? Television commercials and television advertising seems to be critical in any campaign, so you may end up with a good candidate from the Democratic or the Green Party who simply doesn't have the funding to advertise, say, like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Art Torres?
Well, I wish I would have had the opportunity to respond to the Secretary of State earlier since we were just given one response, but I'll try and do it in the answer to this question.
Okay.
Number one, with all due deference to the people of Washington, I think we've elected some pretty good leaders here in California. Gray Davis, for example, although he was recalled, was an excellent leader. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Senator Barbara Boxer, all have been terrific leaders for the state of California, and were elected under the primary system. In response to the caller's question, the Chamber of Commerce, there's a reason why the business groups are supporting this initiative, because they feel there's much more control in that way, because the better finance candidates will always get on the ballot. And that may not be the popular candidates or the will of the people, simply because money does speak in politics. And therefore, candidates from a Libertarian Party, from a Green Party, from a Republican Party, in some cases in California, for example, where Democrats rule the day so far in terms of voter registration, that wouldn't be fair to the other political parties. And I think that really is at the essence of a democracy, not only to encourage the two-party system, but to encourage other parties to participate. There is no way under this initiative proposal that a Green Party member will ever be a candidate for governor in the November election unless he or she happens to be a multi-billionaire.
Sam Reed?
The history here in the state of Washington is that having a wide-open primary doesn't affect one's ability to raise funds. Now, obviously, if you have more than one Republican and one Democrat running, it does have an impact on the party's ability to channel funds to them. But that's up to the party. The party's rules control whether they want to pump money into candidates to a pre-primary endorsement.
No,
so it really hasn't had an impact on us in terms of candidates being able to be adequately financed. Also, it's not the chamber in the state of Washington. It's the Washington State Grange, which is very rural, tends to be small farmer. They're the ones who sponsored this initiative, though the initiative basically is a language of a Secretary of State request bill that I had in the last session that passed both houses.
Art Torres, you were trying to get in there a second?
Yeah. What I was trying to say is I was referring to our initiative, Mr. Secretary, where the Chamber of Commerce in California is supporting this initiative. And the other is restriction of monies to and from is not up to the will of the parties anymore. Under McCain-Feingold, we have probably the most onerous of requirements under federal law now that affect political parties and their ability to exercise their First Amendment rights. What I found particularly amusing was John McCain whining about all the 527s during the Swift boat action, when in reality it was his law that created these monsters. Every time we talk about reform, we create more of a problem than we did previously.
Sam, do you want to come back on that?
Well, I don't want to get McCain-Feingold, but I will say that that this reform, I think, fits the 21st century in terms of giving people more freedom to participate in this process in a more meaningful way, and also fits the role that political parties are playing more in America, which is a consultative role, one about recruiting quality candidates, of helping these candidates to run, training their people, and helping in financing, and not sitting there and manipulating or controlling the process itself in terms of who can make it into the general election to run for office.
Rebecca, thanks very much for your phone call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's go now to Steve. Steve is with us from Montrose, Colorado.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
My comment is that, I think any legislation that's going to put more popular power into people's hands, it's going to fragment the special interests, and then we're going to have more democracy-based leadership. In Colorado, where I'm at, we have a bill on an amendment that would split up the Electoral College, and it just seems to me like right now the Democrats and Republicans have locked up the entire political process. Unless you have some legislation like this come through, you're never going to get a popular vote or anything that you that is actually representative of the people. And I'll take it off the air.
Okay, Steve, thanks for the phone call. Art Torres, do you want to go first on this?
Sure. I hope Ken Salazar wins that U.S. Senate seat in Colorado, number one. Number two, I do think that this initiative process, whether it's a Louisiana style or other styles of primaries in other states, really is not going to have an impact in determining how money is raised. What the caller was talking about was essentially the Electoral College, which I in California oppose because I don't think it's reflective of the popular will of the people of this country, and quite frankly discriminates now, as we're finding out, in those states that may have been good for one candidate or another, were completely ignored, as is the case with California.
Sam Reed, special interests, how does this change the relationship of special interests and politicians?
Well, one of the motivations for people in advocating the system is that is this perception that the Republican Party, to a great degree, is controlled by business interests and business support. There are a lot of financial support in the Democratic Party by union interest, trial lawyers, and some other interest groups, and that we ought to have a system that allows candidates to get in and have a real, true opportunity to make it onto that general election ballot based upon their support and being true community leaders and based on merit. Again, that has been our experience here in the state of Washington.
We're talking about proposals that are on this November 2nd's ballot in both Washington State and in California that propose open primaries, about how they would change the way political parties and politics work in those states. Of course, California has been known to lead the edge on a number of issues. That's one of the reasons we're talking about it. Our guests are Sam Reed, who you just heard, a Republican, who's the Secretary of State of Washington, and Art Torres, the Chairman of the California Democratic Party. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, email TOTN@NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan. We'll be back after a short break. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're talking about primary ballot initiatives in California and in Washington State. Our guests are Sam Reed, Secretary of State for Washington, a Republican, and Art Torres, Chairman of California's Democratic Party. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, or you can send us email, TOTN@NPR.org. Let's get another caller on the line. And Eric is on with us from Chico, California.
Yes, hi. I'm a member of the Green Party, and I would like to see a reduction in the duopoly that exists with the Republican and Democratic parties. Most Western countries have numerous political parties, and I'd like to know how this initiative in California would help expand the field. I'll
Sam,
take my answer off the air.
Thanks for the call, Eric. Sam Reed?
The minor parties in the state of Washington have played a very important role throughout our history in terms of raising issues and forcing major candidates, I think, to deal with them. And what we would see happen is through they would be able to campaign through our primary, which in our case is second or third Tuesday of September, raising issues and all. And then if they made it into the general, then they would really have high visibility. And we think that some of the Green Party members would, like here in the Seattle area, and some of the Libertarians would over in Eastern Washington. But it would really kind of force them to field some viable candidates, not just people who want to be spoilers or people who just want to be on the ballot. And I think it would have a healthy impact on the minor parties here.
Art Torres?
Oh, God, not at all. The poor Green parties, Libertarian, the natural law parties, any small party would be totally banned. I mean, even in Washington, my dear friend Paul Parent, who's chairman of the Washington State Democratic Party, wrote a few months ago that Seattle voters would probably have to choose between two Democrats for every office, while in many districts in eastern Washington, voters will see nothing but Republicans. I don't see any mention of a Green Party, and it's kind of patronizing, I think, to tell the Green Party, well, why don't you find viable candidates? Well, they do have viable candidates in small districts and sometimes in statewide races. We had a pretty viable candidate with Peter Comejo, who was a Green candidate running for governor, articulate, persuasive, obviously didn't win, but at least he had a chance to articulate views and inject into debates issues that the other parties wouldn't talk about. So expansion under this Proposition 62 would destroy little political parties in California and not allow us to have any more than two political parties, but quite frankly, not allow us to have other than just one political party, because whoever had the biggest money, or in those congressional assembly and Republican districts, the Republicans would prevail, and those districts the Democrats would prevail, and come November, all you'd have would be boring Democrats running against each other, boring Republicans running against each other, and no green interjection of new ideas.
Well, let's go now to Jim, and Jim's calling from Victor, New York.
Yes, good afternoon.
Hi.
I had precisely the same doubts myself. If there's, this strikes me very much as being a tyranny of the majority. Whatever majority of people feels is important in any given election, they will vote for the same two candidates who hold the same centrist or radical positions, and there will be significantly less choice among candidates when you get to the election. What it does is it turns the election into a mandate that is handled by a majority prior to the election, and the election itself has no meaning whatsoever.
So, Sam Reed, would this result in Tweedledum and Tweedledee elections?
I really don't believe so. In fact, one problem we've had here, and I've noticed this as a trend around the country, is for political parties, and partly because of redistricting and all that, to have more districts that are single-party districts. And so, really, it doesn't end up being a race of any consequence in the general election. In fact, the election is over in the primary. And in California, that is really early. Here it isn't quite as early. And what this would mean is that if a district is so controlled by one party, then, in fact, you are going to have some real choices in the general election. Now, in our state, we are such a competitive state that it would be very rare that we would have two people of the same party. In fact, 2001, 2002, 2003, we had 142 legislative and congressional races, and we only had one where the same party ended up in the top two. Plus, they would change their behavior. They have to actually have incentive to start fielding some candidates who are credible, viable candidates, so they won't have the embarrassment of not being on the general election.
Art Torres, the way parties have redistricted a lot of legislative and congressional seats, very, very few are competitive. I think only about 30%.
Well, you ought to talk to the people in assembly and Senate races here in California and a congressional race in the San Joaquin Valley where Jim Acosta, a former state senator, is running for a congressional seat. Those are very competitive races, and quite frankly, most of the seats are up in the air in terms of whether or not one party or the other will win them. So to suggest that the reapportionment has created non-competitive seats is really begging the question, because then you will seal the coffin on any opportunity for dissent by these open primary proposals. The Louisiana style that the Chamber of Commerce here in California is trying to put forward would do exactly as I said it would do. And also the other thing is, at the same time, are you going to force political parties at that time to exert much more power in determining who gets to run in the first place? And I don't think that's what democracy should be about.
Okay. Jim, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's talk now with Tony. Tony's calling from Lafayette, Louisiana, where, as we mentioned before, they currently have open primaries. Tony, welcome.
Welcome. Hello.
Hi.
When they first implemented this, I think probably 20, 25 years ago, I was against it. But after voting for so many years and also living in another state that didn't have the open primary system, I realize the choices we do have. We have some outstanding candidates. Yes, I agree that one instance of David Duke some years ago, but that's, you know, you're going to have that occasionally, and you got to give the people choices. I voted today in the presidential election, and my wife and I was looking at how many choices we had. I just wish the only thing we were wishing for was of all those candidates could enter into the debate process, and that comes down to money. But I had a choice between two Republicans and three Democrats for my congressman today, and it worked out well because I'm not allowing the Democratic or the Republican Party to choose the person they want to back up. I can choose of a broader base, and I think that's a wonderful thing.
And as I understand the system in Louisiana there, Tony, just informationally, if somebody doesn't get over 50% of the vote on Election Day, then there's a runoff between the top two?
Yes, and so in 2000 that happened, where one of our runoffs happened at the national level. We had to go back again in late November or early December and vote again. And so the rest of the country already knew who their congressman, I think, is our Senate race, if I'm not mistaken. So
yes, it was. Runoff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Art Torres, Tony is calling from Louisiana. He likes it.
Well, I like New Orleans, too, but I don't like their system of nominating people. And I think that was the Mary Landrieu seat that he was referring to.
I believe it was, yes.
I think that we have to be realistic here in this state, because he may have had a choice of all those candidates, but in the end, it's the top two candidates that will emerge in November. And in California, that's basically going to be Democrats, unless the Republicans can fuel more money into their candidate. In this case, they had a special kind of niche candidacy with Arnold Schwarzenegger, who supports this initiative, and rightly so, because he could never win a Republican primary because of his views on a number of matters.
Well, could it be that the Democrats are concerned about having too many votes taken away from their base going to the Green Party and all these other parties that traditionally would make up the Democratic Party if that was the only candidate on the ticket?
Yeah, but that's the challenge, I think, and rightly so. And I may be in a minority in this, but I think the Democratic Party and the Republican Party need to be consistently challenged from the left, from the right, from the middle. You're not going to have that in November. You're going to have two candidates from the same party, essentially, on a ballot in California with 36 million people to decide the future of the state, and you will not have a debate of ideology, of perceptions, perspectives, and clearly of visions.
Sam Reed, Tony's been making your argument for you, but for the purposes of equal time.
Well, one point that I want to make, Neil, is that a little ludicrous to hear these party chairmen, and I don't know what Art has done in California, but
I've been a senator
here,
Paul
Barron and others who are saying, gosh, how terrible it would be not to have these minor and independent parties on the candidates, that they're out there suing to get Ralph Nader off the ballot. So there isn't exactly a consistency here. I would also make the point that the reason this fits, and this is part of what your caller is talking about, the reason this fits the Americans here in the 21st century is that our makeup, you know, I'm a hardcore Republican, but our makeup is we don't vote a straight party ticket anymore. We tend to go through and pick and choose and try to find people we think are the best for the office. And at least here in the state of Washington, I think we see the trend around the country. They would like to be able to do that in the primary, so these folks would make it onto the general election ballot.
Tony, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Yes.
And we just have a couple of minutes left. I'd like to ask you both. It does look like this Art Torres is going to pass in both states, at least according to opinion polls.
Yes, it looks that way, and that's unfortunate. And so we have to make a decision at that point on whether we go to court again, because we challenged successfully in 1996, in 1998, the previous open primary approach, and we're going to have to look at whether we have the money to challenge this. If not, you may be creating more political bossism with this initiative, because political parties are not going to sit by and let an open primary determine who their nominees are going to be. You're going to be forcing political parties to make very hard-boiled decisions, and you're going to create much more influence, in my opinion, from special interests into this process than we've ever had before. We're starting to clean that up now here in this state, and I think it's progressively moving, but we have a lot more work to do. But clearly this would derail those efforts.
And Sam Reed, is this idea, do you think, going to sweep east from California and Washington and north from Louisiana?
Well, that's an excellent question, and definitely it's going to, I think, sweep the West Coast. I co-authored an op-ed piece in the New York Times yesterday with Phil Kiesling, the immediate past Secretary of State of Oregon, and he already has an initiative drafted to go on the Oregon ballot in 2005, and there's a legislator up in Alaska who's doing the same up in Alaska. So I think we're definitely probably going to, definitely maybe too strong, but we will be seeing a West Coast primary, and I do think it will appeal to the people across the country.
Thank you both very much, and we appreciate your taking the time to talk with us about it.
Well, I hope that Sam gets to see my son in our town at the Intiman Theater there.
Oh, good. Okay. Thanks.
And bipartisan effort to support the arts.
There you go.
Hey, you bet.
Take care.
Art
right.
Torres, talking there, he's the chairman of the California Democratic Party. He joined us on the line from his office in San Francisco. And Sam Reed, the Secretary of State of Washington State, a Republican, and he was with us on the phone from Seattle, and we thank them both very much.